be with you. This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize with water. But one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when the people were baptized, and when Jesus had also been baptized and was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice from heaven spoke, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And this is the gospel of the Lord. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. In one of Charles Schulz's cartoons, as you know I love them, we find Snoopy walking with his little friend Woodstock. Woodstock, you know, the little yellow bird. And Snoopy explains, he says, Woodstock is searching for his identity. And Woodstock is hopping along. He said, "We know he's not an eagle because he can't stand heights." And then Woodstock takes a little plunge into water and sinks like a stone. And Snoopy, with a quizzical look on his face, said, "Another thing, he's not a duck." But Woodstock is searching for his identity. And knowing who we are is a very important part of being authentically human. And what we find in the gospel today, we find John the Baptist. We don't hear much about Jesus in this very critical moment of Jesus' life. But we hear a lot about the Baptist because the Baptist was a crowd drawer. He's out in the desert, in the wilderness, where you'd think nobody'd be listening to him but snakes and scorpions. And people flocked to him because he was unique. He had the voice and the power of a prophet, and there had been no prophet in Israel for 450 years. So there was a buzz around the Baptist. He was a big deal. And the people were saying, "Could this be the Messiah? We've waited so long for a prophet. Could this be the prophet? The prophet like Moses, the prophet that Moses himself told us would come." But John knew who he was. John wasn't the marquee act, although he drew the crowds. John warmed up the crowds for the great moment in human history when God broke into the world in the form of his Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. So John has some humility here. He could have grabbed the glory, but he said, no, I'm not the Messiah. I baptize with water. And John's water baptism was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It's the same message Jesus preached, but there's a difference. The difference is that John baptizes with water. He says to the people who come to him, "Change your life. Be different. Turn to God and get ready for what is coming." But then he says, "But there's one who comes after me who is more powerful than I. And as powerful as I am, I'm not worthy to tie the thongs of his sandals." That was the job of a slave, right? So I'm not worthy to be his slave. That's how different we are. That's how much more powerful a prophet and a figure he is. And John doesn't know exactly what God's up to, but he knows this. He knows that the one who comes after him will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So what? What does that mean? Well, the Holy Spirit is the breath of God. The Holy Spirit is the spirit that hovered over chaos before creation. The Holy Spirit is that which transforms. So John is saying, I'm asking you to try to transform your, to amend your life, but the one who comes after me baptizes with the Spirit, and the Spirit will do the heavy lifting. The Spirit will transform you if you let him. He'll baptize with the power of God. He will breathe into you the breath of God. And when the Spirit of God falls upon you, you will be different. And he'll baptize with fire. Well, that's, you know, that's nice. What does that mean? Well, isn't fire something that purifies? I was telling this story to Kevin yesterday. He stopped in my office, I'm going to tell his son, the doctor. And he said, fire, well, you, fire purifies in a cauldron. And he, that's precisely the point. Fire purifies us. So the presence of God, the baptism of Jesus, is a baptism of purification. He takes away our dross if we let him. John says his winnowing fork is in his hand. Who knows what a winnowing fork is? Anybody? Going once? Ah, you're not wheat farmers. A winnowing fork is a device. I guess they may still use them somewhere. So it's a fork that picks up wheat that's been harvested, and you toss the wheat up, and the breeze from a winnowing fan blows the lighter chaff away, so what falls down is the valuable and usable wheat. So what does his winnowing fork do for us? He takes what is in us, that is chaff, and blows it away. What's his winnowing fan? He blows it away with the Spirit of God, the breath of God, and we become different. We become what St. Paul says, calls Christians, we become radically new and transformed beings. There's a Greek here that probably will not interest you, but I'll tell you anyhow. There's a word in Greek for new, like, how do you like my new watch? That's new that replaces the old. But, and that word is neos. But there's another word, kainos, that means dramatic, radically new, new in kind. And that's what St. Paul says we are. When we are in Christ, we are a new being. See, Christianity is that. It's not just coming to church on Sundays. It's being filled with the Spirit and transformed in our lives so that everything we do and everything that we are is in Christ. And when it's in Christ, it becomes a blessing, and we become a lighthouse for the rest of the world, because the world doesn't need masks, it doesn't need mandates, the world needs Christ. That is what heals, that is what redeems, and that is what transforms the presence of Christ in us, in our hearts, and as it radiates from us to others. And so that's what John is saying about the powerful one that's coming before, after him. So then there's sort of an anticlimax here, because all Luke says is, and Jesus came along with the rest of the crowd, so there's nothing that sets him apart. He's like one of the great unwashed, and he hops into the water, and he gets baptized. We don't even hear that story in this rendition of the gospel. He comes out of the water, and he's praying, and then we have this epiphany. We have this manifestation of God, the triune God, where the Spirit descends like a dove and fills Jesus. And the voice of God speaks. You are my son, the beloved one. In you I'm well pleased. What does that mean for us? Why do we care? Except that Jesus came not as the powerful prophet that John conjures up in his prelude to this passage of Jesus' baptism. Jesus comes as an ordinary person. Jesus comes like you or like me, part of the crowd that is searching for its identity. And he goes into the water with the crowd, not because he needs to repent. Of all the people who ever lived, he's the one who didn't need to repent. He didn't need to go into the water to transform his life. He needed to go into the water to transform ours, because he went in there to be one with all of humanity. And as he came out of that water, symbolically, he comes out bearing our sins. He comes out reminding us that he is one of us and we can be one with him. So when the Father speaks that word, when the Spirit descends, he descends on us. And the words are spoken to us as well. This is our identity. We are God's children. We are God's sons and God's daughters. Nothing less. It doesn't matter if we're Republicans or Democrats. It doesn't matter if we're fat or skinny. It doesn't matter if we're young or old. What matters is that we are God's sons and daughters. That has some ramifications. That means the person next to you is your sibling. That means there is no one on this planet who wasn't made to be one with us, wasn't made to be our brother, our sister, because they too were in the water with the Great One. And it also means that we're called to live as children of God and nothing less. Jesus discovers this about himself in prayer. If we're not praying, we may know a lot about what we're not. Like Woodstock knows he's not an eagle because he can't fly high. And he knows he's not a duck because he sinks like a stone. But does he know what he is? See, this gospel reveals to us who we are. And in revealing to us who we are, it also shows us who our Christ is. He is the one who has come to say, "Fear not. I am with you, and I love you." And so, no matter what's occurring in your life, that is the one reality that matters. He is, in the words of T.S. Eliot, the still point in our changing world. And when we know him, we know who we are.